Appreciate that song. Amen. Have your Bibles turn this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. Read just a few verses to you. It's 5 verses. Starting there, verse number 38. It's a familiar passage, one you've heard many, many times. And this probably isn't going to go the way you're thinking it's going to go this morning. And I pray it might be a blessing to you. Matthew 5 says in verse number 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I know you probably already think all were thinking when I went to turn to that passage. No, probably not looking forward to what I'm about to say. Not something we like to hear. But probably not going to be what you're thinking this morning. I went back to Ruth yesterday trying to study for today, thinking I'd be there this morning, and I just couldn't get any peace about preaching that this morning. And I studied for a long time trying to figure out where the Lord was leading me, and I just didn't feel like I should be in Ruth. Maybe I'll be there tonight. But he led me this passage here. And I did a lot of reading and listening and praying and studying, and I kept coming back to Jesus and ready to study some more and come back to Jesus over and over again. The more I studied, the more I went back to him. So if it's okay this morning, I'm just going to talk about Jesus for a little while. Amen. If that's okay. I hope it's okay with you. If it's not, you're in the wrong place. Maybe you went to go down the road somewhere. I don't know. He's worthy to talk about. I hope you agree. He's worth the time. You're all awake this morning. Everybody's sleepy this morning. Jesus is worth it. He's worth the time. He's worth waking up. Go get some more coffee if you need to. I mentioned it here a lot lately about how it's all about him. The New Testament, look at back at Jesus, what he has done, the sacrifice he did there on the cross, and New Testament talking about him and his life and his ministry, and the Old Testament looking forward to him and the sacrifice he would bring. The Old Testament looking forward, New Testament looking back. In Psalms 23, we talked about how Jesus was in every verse. It started with him, the Lord is my shepherd, and it ended with him, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's in every verse in the middle. He's the beginning, he's the end. He's my yesterday, he's my tomorrow, he's going to be my today. He's everything. He's worthy to talk about. He's the reason I'm here. He ought to be the reason you're here. So if he's okay with you, Lord help, I'm going to preach on just a little while on, just talk a little bit about him. Preach on the law of substitution. That's what I'm going to talk about here. This passage here in Matthew 5 is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching here. This is his sermon. This preaching here in the book of Matthew in general pictures Jesus as the king ruling in the millennial kingdom. That's Matthew pictures Jesus as the king. You have to be careful reading Matthew to make sure you're taking the right context of the book. Matthew pictures Jesus as the king. That being said, there's a lot of application we can take from this. It applies to our present day now. Although Jesus is king, he's different than any other king ever has been on earth or ever will be on earth. Even our rulers today, they aren't kings. Some may think they're kings. They're not kings. They're just leaders. But even they often will tell us to do things that they're not willing to do themselves. You see this all the time, even in our own government. I hate to say that. Senators shutting down the economy and while their paychecks are still coming in. You get the picture. Yet Jesus, the king, he's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. The Bible says he is the great I am. He is everything. Even him, as a king, he's never told us to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. As great of a king as he is, he's willing to do even what we couldn't do for ourselves. Sacrifice himself for us. He's willing to do everything he told us to do. He's willing to do more than he told us to do for us. And look a little bit at that here in Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to read through these verses again. And I want you to look for Jesus here in these verses. I told you we can find Jesus in every passage. Look for Jesus in this passage here. You have heard that hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall come up, compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Did you see Jesus in there? I didn't at first. I'm not as smart as y'all. It took me a little while. This chapter, Sermon on the Mount, is divided up into several sections and different points, if you will, of his message. Those sections you start with, ye have heard that hath been said. You see that verse number 38. See it again in verse number 43. Ye have heard that hath been said. That's the different points of his message there. And this one, I'm going to look at the passage there between 38 and 42. This thought is often called the law of retaliation. It's what it's known as. It teaches us how to respond correctly, respond biblically. It's probably something our nation could learn today, and it's probably needed in our day. That's That's not exactly how I'm going to preach it today. And look at some pictures here of Jesus, even in these verses. Even the law of retaliation, we can find Jesus. And look at that today. Number one, we see the blessedness of substitution. Verse number 38. You have heard that hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You say, I don't know, preacher. I don't see Jesus in there. What we have in this verse here is already said. We see the law of substitution. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. One has to go for another. You have to give one for another. Before I was saved, even since, and I've committed sins, I sin every day. If you admit it, you do too. Get off your high horse and you better admit it. I need forgiveness of those sins. Can I remind you that he was our substitute? Every evil thing I've seen with my eyes, Jesus paid for that with his eyes. Every word I've placed out of my mouth that I've said, he paid for that with his mouth. Every place my feet have taken me that I shouldn't have been, his feet paid for that. Everything I've done with my hands that have been wrong, he did with that. He covered that with his hands. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he covered it all. He was our perfect substitute. He covered it all. Jesus said, oh, take mine. Here, take mine. Don't crucify him, crucify me. Jesus hung there on the cross. He did it for me. He did it for you. Every evil thought you've ever had, Jesus paid for it. Every evil word you've spoken, he's paid for it. Every sin you've committed, Jesus has paid for it. He said, I'll pay for that. I don't know about you today. I'm thankful for the blessedness of substitution. I'm so unworthy of it. He did it anyway. He gave his eye for my eye. If Jesus is in this verse, or if he's in the next verse, look and see. Verse number 39. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him also the other. See here the blessedness of his suffering. Verse number 38, Jesus took our sin. Verse number 39, I believe we can see Jesus taking our suffering. Isaiah 50, verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Matthew 26, 67, they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. We see him being smitten. We see he's been plucking his beard. They spit on his face, spit in his cheek. What is this? This is my suffering that Jesus took for me. No, he didn't take my sin. He took my suffering. You see the law of substitution. You say, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him also the other. As a good lesson in retaliation, Jesus lived it. You can do what I do. I'll never have to feel the pain of sin. I'll never have to live the suffering and the shame and the reproach of my sin. Why is that? Because not only was he the substitute for my sin, he's a substitute for my suffering. Are you thankful today he took the suffering? Are you thankful today that for Jesus? It should have been me on that tree. It should have been you on that tree paying your sin debt. The church, he died for us. He suffered for us. He was our substitute for the pain, our sin, and suffering is worthy of our praise today. That law has to be fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He says, I'll do it. He said, I'll take Elijah Helms' place, and I'll take everybody's saved place in this church this morning. He fulfilled the law and fulfilled mercy all at the same time. We see the blessedness of his suffering. Not only that, we're going to see him in the next verse. And we are getting somewhere this morning. See verse number 40. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away that coat, let him have that cloak also. See the blessedness of his shame. In our modern day English, this doesn't make much sense. We don't have cloaks and coats and different things. We confuse this. What does it mean to these Jews sitting here listening to this message? What is this talking about? Well, Jesus is saying if you're in court of law and someone is suing you for your coat, you have no choice but to give them your coat. They sued you, got it by law. But Jesus says you go even further. Not only give him your coat, you give him your cloak also. Now, if I were to give you my coat, you sue me for my coat. I don't know why you want it, but here you go. Give you my coat, it's no problem. I'm hot and I want to take it off anyway. No big deal. But if I were to give you my cloak, the inward garment, and then we have a problem. And you would agree, that's the problem, preacher. Give you my cloak. I would be ashamed and not be properly clothed. We've forever been taught to clothe ourselves. At least I hope you have. It's human nature to want to be clothed. The shame is a natural reaction to not being this. Shame is a natural reaction. Somehow sin has messed us up and some women think it's okay to show everything they want to. I don't care what year it is, still wrong. Mankind naturally is ashamed to not be clothed. All the way back to Adam and Eve, once their eyes were opened from the sin, their sin nature, what did they do? They sewed themselves fig leaves and made an apron and put clothes on. They were naked. Matthew 27, 27 says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. You know what they did to Jesus? They shamed him. They brought all the band of soldiers around, and those Roman soldiers standing around, and they stripped him of his clothes. Wicked, putrid, vile, disgusting men. This to my Jesus, because he allowed them to, they shamed him. See, he took the shame. We're not only taught to be clothed physically, we're taught to be clothed emotionally or even spiritually. You say, what do you mean? There was a day when I was ashamed before the Lord. It says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God can see through the fig leaves you're trying to hide. You say, what do you mean? There was a day I was an 11-year-old boy. I made a profession of faith before that. I had sewed fig leaves up. I'd sewed fig leaves together, made myself look good. To everyone else, I was clothed. To everyone else, I was just a good little boy, been saved. Oh, but before God, I was naked and lost and dying and on my way to hell. I tried to cover it up. I tried to put on a good face, but in my heart, I knew that before God, I was ashamed. I was naked and worthless before him. He could see my heart. It didn't matter how many fig leaves I tried to sew together and put on before God. I was a lost sinner in need of salvation. Convicted, ashamed before the Lord. It says in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with jewels. You say, what are you talking about? As an 11-year-old boy, I knelt down before an almighty God, and he clothed me in the garments of salvation. He clothed me in righteousness. Now when he sees me, he sees the Son. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. As long as he sees me as worthy and not as I am. What do we have? You know, the blessedness of his shame. He took the shame for us, so I wouldn't have to. He took the sin, he took the suffering, he took the shame. Before him, I no longer have to be ashamed. Before him, I'm seen as worthy. He sees me, he sees his Son. By the law, I'd have to give away my coat, and I have to give away my cloak also because I'm guilty before the law. But Jesus clothed me in the garments of salvation. He took the shame. He said, yes, you're guilty. I'll clothe you with this. Why did he have to be shamed? So I wouldn't have to be. You see the blessedness of his shame. What about the next verse? I wonder if he's in there. Verse number 41. It's going a little quicker than I thought it was. Me and Russell on the same page today. It says in verse number 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. You see the blessedness of his sacrifice. I'm sure you've heard that this verse before, many times before. This is from old Persian law. I'm not going to try to bore you with history today, but there's Persian law. Was it a soldier? If he was a messenger for the king, if he was a mailman in that day in the Persian royalty, if he came by your house and his horse or his camel, whatever, fell down and couldn't carry on with the way he's carrying, he could go to your house and take your horse or your camel and go on and finish his message for the king. He was on a royal mission. In other words, if his car came by, his car broke down, he could grab my truck and keep going. It's Persian law. The Romans took this, and they changed it a little bit and took it on their own law. They made it to where if a Roman soldier was coming along and you were the one of their conquered nations, like the Jews, if he came by and saw you, he could make you carry his pack for him for 1 mile, but only 1 mile. You could not refuse. You couldn't say, I'm not going to do that. Before a soldier walked by, he was tired of carrying it. He said, here, you carry this, and you got to carry it 1 mile. You had no choice, Roman law. The history says that many of these Jews, if they lived along a common path of these soldiers, it happened often, they would measure out a Roman mile from their house, and they would drive a stake. They go out a mile, and they say, right there is as far as I'm going. That way, if the Roman soldier came by, they'd walk a mile, and they said, I'm not going any further, dropping it right here. I'm not caring any further for you, Roman soldier. Now, it was what they did. It's Roman law. Jew had no choice but to carry it a mile, but he wasn't about to carry it any further. And I can't blame him. I wouldn't do it either. That's what Jesus is referring to here when he talks about if he compel you to go a mile. He says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile? Jesus says, you go with them twain. Jesus talking to the Jews who are going through this at the time under Roman law. Jesus says, if the Roman soldier tells you to carry his pack a mile, Jesus says, you just carry it twain. Go a second mile. In other words, if the Roman makes you carry his pack, don't stop at the stake. Just keep on going another mile. What could the law require of Jesus here? He was perfectly fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the law. He never broke the law. We know in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was perfect. He lived a perfect life. So what did the law require of Jesus? He didn't have to die. Matthew 5:17, I'm sorry. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus fulfilled every portion of the law he had to. He went his mile. He went as far as he had to go. He was perfect. So what happened when Jesus went on the cross, died on the cross? He went beyond the stake. Went past his mile. He went beyond what anyone could ask him. He went beyond what the law required him. He didn't have to die. He was perfect. He said, I'll keep on going. You just didn't have to. He could have stepped back into heaven at any point in time in his ministry and been just as much a son of God as he was when he came to earth. He was always God. He didn't have to pay any kind of debt to get back into heaven. He was perfect, perfect on earth. He did nothing wrong. He went beyond what was required of him. He didn't only go the mile. He went beyond the mile. He didn't even go the 2 miles. He kept going for me. Aren't you thankful this morning? Jesus was willing to go beyond the mile. Willing to go beyond the stake. He said, I'll go with them twain. He saw us, the sinner. He said, I'll go with them twain. You see, Jesus went beyond the stake. He didn't drive a stake in the ground. You say, okay, that's good. That's enough. He said, no, I'll keep going. Why is that? Why is it you and me have driven stakes in the ground on the Lord? He didn't drive a stake on us. Why have we driven stakes on him? He said, what are you talking about? What stakes have you driven down on the Lord? What line have you drawn? Brother Russell talking about some of this morning. You say, Lord, here am I. Send somebody else to do that. Lord, whatever you want me to do, just not past that stake. Or I'll go all the way to the mile, but I'm not going past there. What stakes have you driven on God? Or I'll go wherever you want me to go, not past that stake. Lord, I'll do anything except preach. Lord, I'll go anywhere except overseas. Lord, I'll do anything except tell my neighbor about you. I'll tell anybody. I'll go all the way to Selwick, but I'm not going to tell my neighbor about it. That'll embarrass me. Lord, I'll do anything, just don't make me embarrass myself and talk to that coworker. Lord, I'll go this far, but not past this stake. Why are we driving stakes on him when he didn't drive one on us? Aren't you glad he kept on going past the mile? Aren't you glad he didn't fulfill the law? Not only fulfill the law, but he fulfilled mercy and grace as well. Aren't you glad he went, kept going? And what business do we have driving a stake on God? You know what New Hope Baptist Church needs? You go around and pull some stakes up. Go around and pull them up out of the ground. You know what we need? We need to go the extra mile and go again and go again. Just don't just fulfill the law. Go beyond it. Not only give your tithes, but give to missions. Not only give to missions, but be a part of missions. Not only for missions, but missions right here on our island. It's time to dig up the stake, church. Go on for God. Do more for him. How many times the Lord looked down on us and said, why don't you pull that stake up? How many times did he convict you and told you to do something? He said, no, Lord, that's not for me. It's time we pull the stake up. As a 13-year-old boy, I sat under conviction at youth camp. My Lord was burning in my heart to preach. I sat there through that service. I don't remember everything else about it. It was just me and the preacher and the Lord, it felt like. And Brother Wesley Webb, in metropolis of Mackbee, South Carolina. And if you've never been there, it doesn't mean much to you, but it makes Craig look like a metropolis. He always makes a joke about it. Anyway, he's preaching on the call of Samuel. And I remember him just jumping up on the speakers on the platform and screaming at the top of his lungs, Samuel, Samuel, like Lord was calling Samuel. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but as plain as day, Lord was calling me, Elijah, Elijah. Obviously not audibly. Burning in my heart. Miserable the rest of the week, miserable that weekend. You know what I did? I went home. I said, Lord, not that far. I'll go far enough. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but not that. It was miserable for months. Couldn't get away from it. I tried to get away from it. Later on that year, I think it was probably 2 or 3 months later, I was at trembling at a church pew at Maple Grove Baptist Church. Well, God said, why don't you just pull this stake up? It'll be worth it. I'll make it worth it. Just pull this stake up. Why don't you just pull the stake up this morning? Sunday morning, I pulled the stake up. I surrendered my life to preach. It hasn't always been easy. I'm still trying to figure out how to do it. Haven't got there yet. I never regretted 1 minute of it. Never regretted doing God's will for my life. Over and over, I encourage this morning, pull the stake up. Just give it up. Give it to him. Whatever he asks of you, just do it. Lord, I can't do that. Moses said the same thing. Lord, I can't speak. Lord said, I made your mouth. Go and speak. You don't have any business driving stakes on God. It's time to pull them up. See the blessedness of his sacrifice. He just kept on going. There's one more picture I see here of this stake and this soldier. It wouldn't surprise us to see a Roman soldier, a great, mighty Roman soldier. It wouldn't surprise us to see him walk up and demand a Jew to carry his pack. And that day, it wouldn't surprise him. That's common. It happened all the time. It's law. But what would be surprising if the Roman soldier came up and the great, mighty, greater soldier came by and saw the Jew burdened down with a heavy load, and the soldier, the greater, said to the lesser, the Jew, why don't you let me carry that for you? And that would be abnormal. The greater carrying the burden for the lesser. It was 14 years ago now, the greater God Almighty came by my way and saw a little no-good sinner, the lesser, somebody burdened down with the load of sin, the debt of sin. And he said, why don't you just let me carry that for you? Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, carried my burden for me. The Creator took the burden from the created. The better took the burden from the lesser. Can I tell you, ever since that day, he took my burden. I haven't had to carry it since. Since he saved me, I haven't had that sin debt since. He didn't get tired to hand it back to me. He didn't carry it a mile and give it back to me. He's been carrying ever since. He carried all the way to the cross for me. He didn't get tired and give it back. If you're carrying a heavy burden today, can I encourage you? He'll take it for you. Mr. Lean's favorite verse, First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just let him carry your burden for you. Give the burden to him. It's the blessedness of his sacrifice. Last thing, look at verse number 42. If Jesus and the rest of them, surely he's in this last one here. It says in verse number 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You know what Jesus says here? If someone asks you for something, just give it to them. Don't ask, don't question them, don't tell them he's asked it the wrong way, just give it to them. And if he needs something, needs to borrow something, just let him borrow it. Luke 18:13, we see a man that didn't know what to say, the publican. It says, and the publican said, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what he did? He asked him. He said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Jesus said he was justified. He said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Jesus said he went home justified. You think God's going to command us to do something here in Matthew 5:42? He was not willing to do it himself. He already did the rest of them. The rest of the verse, you think he's going to do that here? Just ask him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 4:7, you see another story of salvation. It says, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and would he have given thee living water? To paraphrase that last verse, Jesus tells her, if you knew who I was and you knew what I could give you, you'd ask me for it and I'd give it to you. I believe this morning, if you're a burden this morning, if you're under conviction this morning, you want to call on him, he'll answer you. Yes. He's faithful to answer. If you want some living water, you have to ask for it and he'll give it to you. It says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may have heard the story of Charles Spurgeon. He had visited a boy's home in England. The story says he was looking around all the boys everywhere in the home, house full of boys. Y'all can understand that, all their visitors come over. House full of boys. The story goes that Charles Spurgeon was overwhelmed with the amount of boys that are just swarming around his feet in the home. He looked to the leader of the home. He says, there are boys everywhere. There are so many. How do you decide who to take and who not to take? The guy said, did you look at the sign over the door when you came in? He said, no. So he went back there, back out the door, walked that door, turned and looked above the door, and it said, no destitute boy ever refused. You know what I bet would say over the cross? No destitute sinner ever refused. If you need him this morning, he'll save you. God's not going to turn you away. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you this morning, if you're not saved, he's not going to turn you away. Just call on him. Just ask him. He fulfilled every one of these other verses he told us to fulfill. You think it's going to skip out on verse number 42? I don't think so. You have a heavy burden today. Are you a sinner standing before a holy God today? If you died right now, do you know where you'd go? There's only two options, heaven or hell. If you never ask him to save you, hell is your eternal destination. Why don't you call him today? Have your head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. I'm just going to stop right there. children here today that can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, 100% sure, you know you're going to heaven when you die. If you can say it today, would you just slip your hand up? If you know for sure where you're going to go when you die, if you know for sure you're going to go to heaven, you slip your hand up. Ain't that good to know? Ain't it good to have that peace? Is there anyone here today that would be willing to admit that you're a sinner in need of salvation? Is there anyone here today that's willing to admit before God that you're a lost sinner and you need to be saved? If you died right now, do you have perfect peace where you would be? The Bible says the Lord holds our breath in the palm of His hands. If right now is your last breath on this side of eternity, where would you wake up? Where'd you take your next breath? If you don't know this morning, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, would you be willing to slip your hand up? I'm not here to point you out or to embarrass you or call your name. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that here this morning? There's an altar down here, a place you can come and pray if you'd like. If you come down here, I'd be glad to take you to the side and pray with you. Try to answer any questions to the best of my ability that I can. One more question for you. Is there anyone here this morning that's driven some stakes down on God? Is there anyone that has said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just not that. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Just not there. Lord, I'll tell anybody you want me to tell. Just not him. So I just don't know how. I don't have the ability. I already told you, the excuse didn't work for Moses. I said, Lord, I can't speak. The Lord said, I made your mouth. Is there a stake you need to pull up this morning? Anybody here today? Nobody else is looking. Won't you pull it up? Give it up. Give it to God. Bring it to the altar and put it down. I promise you, you'll never regret living for the Lord. I promise you a little embarrassment you'll feel now standing up. It's worth it 1,000 times over and over again. Do it again in a heartbeat. It's worth it. Thankfully that God chose to be my substitute. How about you? I don't think the Lord directed me to preach this for no reason. We're dealing with somebody here this morning. I don't know who. Why don't you give it up? She's going to finish this last verse. She's going to be done. Why don't you give it up? Give it to God. Young man, young lady, what are you keeping from God? What are you holding back for yourself? Just give it to Him. Lord, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for your people here. Lord, thank you for your scriptures and what you can teach us. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. I pray us to go our separate ways today. Lord, thank you for being my substitute. In Jesus' name.